Chapter 36. The Core to Pay.
"Because you wouldn't listen," Selin shouts. "Olive was kidnapped and you wouldn't even listen. What were we supposed to do?"
"Sure as the Core weren't supposed to run off to rip in Krasia."
The General's voice roars back through the resonant stone at the centre of the Demarja's casting chamber. It glowed brightly with magic when contact began, but already it is dimming. The power needed to communicate over such distance is enormous.
"Got no one but yourself to blame if I didn't trust you," the General goes on.
That one strikes home. I can smell Selin's sudden shame. But it ain't fair. I take a step forward, even though he is hundreds of miles away. "What about me, Uncle Garrod?"
"Aye, what's that, Darren?"
he says. I make my voice innocent, as one of Aunt Celia's butter cookies. "What did I do to earn your mistrust?" The General isn't having it, but he stops yelling, and that's a start.
"You're a good boy, Darren, but those girls have always had you wrapped around their fingers. Ain't your fault."
I swallow a lump of fear and press.
"Is? I wasn't going to let Olive's trail go cold because you wouldn't listen. I asked Selin to steal some food and a spear to come with me."
"And what did that get you?"
Uncle Garrod demands.
"And found Olive any more than we did, and you took a forest full of stupid chances along the way. Lucky you didn't end up like..."
He trails off, unwilling to finish the sentence.
"Indeed, where has any of this deception gotten us?" Jardir demands. "The adults of Hollow were no less foolish than its children. I should have been informed before your forces left, and shouldn't have to hear of their destruction from a child moons after the fact."
"I had my orders to keep it quiet, from Leisha herself," the General says.
"And who gives orders in Hollow now, with your Duchess and her heir both missing?" the Demarja asks.
"Me, for now,"
Garrod concedes.
"But if Olive ain't back here soon, it's going to end up being a loner. And it's a soul in the world wants that."
Selin draws a ward in the air in front of her. "Creator forbid."
"All the more reason you should have trusted me,"
Jardir says.
"I don't act like you don't know why that is,"
Garrod says.
"Can't throw a rock in Hollow without hitting someone whose home you took."
"Those who fled our advance are welcome to return, son of Steve,"
Jardir says tightly. But I can tell he ain't used to being spoken to like this.
"Oh, aye,"
the General presses.
"Gonna give them their land back? Unkill their sons?"
"Enough,"
Jardir growls.
"Whatever disputes our people have in the day is irrelevant. These are blood matters. Leisha Arm Paper and Renna Arm Bales are as sisters to me. I would never have allowed harm to come to them. And by Everarm, when my daughter disappeared, honour demanded I be informed, as I have informed you when I found yours shivering on my doorstep."
"Wasn't shivering," Selin notes, "but tsst," from an Everar quiets her.
"Aye, fair and true,"
the General concedes at last.
"But when Leisha didn't come back,
you thought it might have been me who stole her away?"
Jardir asks.
"It's all crossed my mind,"
Uncle Garrod admits.
"Sorry about that. But now that we know you didn't, it narrows the list." "We have yet to cast the dice," Jardir says, "but we are not without suspicion."
"The Marja," Uncle Garrod guesses. "Leisha was spitting fire after they tried to bid on Olive like a horse."
"There is no shame in bargaining properly over a match," the Demarja says. "But the Marja were flies attempting to haggle a spider."
"We will seek Leisha and Darren's mother first," Jardir says, "while we investigate the Marja."
"Got men searching those hills now,"
the General says.
"Either they will find nothing," Bluffather says, "or they will die. Anything powerful enough to defeat my intended's forces will make short work of your scouts."
"Maybe,"
Garrett agreed. But I can't just sit on my hands about it either.
Of course not,
Jardir says. You are a man of honour and will do what must be done. When the dice are cast, I can fly to the scene and investigate properly.
So you'll let us know what the dice tell you?
Garrett asks.
Psst!
An Everest hiss cuts off Jardir's response. The mysteries of the Alagai Hora are not to be bandied about. Jardir nods.
We will conduct our investigations and inform you when we find something.
Ain't gonna be good enough!
Some of the boom returns to the general's voice.
I'm sending an escort for Selin and Darin now. Be there in a fortnight, and I want them packed up and ready to go.
My bloodfather's nostrils flare, but he keeps his temper in check.
The pact is clear, and you will have them.
I forgive your rudeness and disrespect for suggesting it might be otherwise. I know you are a man of honour, and this is a father's fear affecting your manners.
Got that right,
Garrett says.
And if there ain't news of Olive when I get there, we're going to see if that sand fort you're all so proud of can stand when 100,000 cutters come to knock it down.
I will not allow a force that size to pass through Crasian lands, Jarzir says. We will consider it an act of war. The general growls.
Then we'll go around.
That will add weeks to your journey, Jardir says. If attempting to move so many men across the sands doesn't kill you, you will break against Desert Spear's walls like waves against a cliff.
I won't abandon Princess Olive,
the general says, and I catch a whiff of pride from Selin at the words. She may be your princess, Jardir says, but she is my daughter. I will see her to safety. If we discover she is with the Maja, we will ask them to return her. Garrett snorts.
And if they say no, then you may accompany me when I knock down their walls and take her,
Jardir says.
Psst!
Inevra removes one of the wardstones on the resonance table, breaking the connection. She and Jardir glare at each other, but say nothing more. I stare at the hanjar on Inevra's belt as she kneels before her white casting cloth. Long as Mam's knife, the curved dagger is hot with magic. Hanjar are reputed to be sharp as razors. I wonder if I will even feel it slicing my flesh as she draws blood for the dice. But the Damaja never reaches for the blade, instead producing a surgical needle, tubing, and several stoppered vials, enough for multiple castings. I shift uneasily. Mam warned me never to do this.
Your Aunt Leisha's bad enough, but I know where her head is at. Ain't a body that knows what's in Inevra's head, except Inevra.
Hold out your arm. The Damaja does not look at me, seemingly focused on the tubing she will tie around my arm. But it's an act. I can smell her hunger. I hesitate. Been around enough magic users to know the power of blood. Even one vial would allow Inevra to target any number of spells at me, some up close and others at a distance. More, they allow her dice to look into my past and present to predict my future. Who I am, where I come from, who I am meant to be, what I am meant to do, how I will die. Does anyone have a right to know secrets like that? I steal a glance at her, thankful for the curls of hair over my eyes that keep us from locking stares. She waits patiently, seeing my indecision. I cannot take the blood from you, son of Arlan, she says quietly. You must give it willingly for the prophecy to be strong. Your blood is something I have desired for many years, though your mother would not allow it, since...
Since what?
I ask when she trails off.
Since she had you in her belly, Jardir finishes. She gave one vial, asking if you would survive the journey below.
What?
I swallow.
What did the dice say?
Inevra flicks an annoyed glance at her husband before answering.
he will be born in darkness. I shiver, even as I realize she has only told me part of the prophecy, the part that has already come to pass. As Jardir delivered me in the bowels of the demon hive, what is the rest? What doesn't she want me to know? I take a deep breath. It doesn't matter. All that matters is Mam and Aunt Leisha and Olive. 3 vials, I say, to be used to find Mam and Aunt Leisha and Olive and no other reason. The Demarja's eyes narrow. Powerful forces are at work here, son of Arlan. It may require more to glean what we need. I nod. You can have 3. You need more. You can ask me then. I see her lips tighten through the gossamer silks of her veil, but she nods. Done. The last thing I want to do is push the Demarja too far, but I imagine what Mam would say. Swear it. Even through all the perfume, I can smell Nineveh's indignation at the challenge to her integrity. But she does not hesitate. I swear by Everam and my hope of heaven, I will take 3 vials and no more, to be used exclusively in search of your mother, and Leisha and Olive arm paper. I nod and hold out my arm. Aunt Leisha cast the bones once, poring over the throw for hours. The Demarja is quicker, using the other vials to ask follow-up questions, whispered with wards of silence around her, and my blood father preventing even me from hearing her prayers. She faces away, so I cannot read her lips, and her scent tells me nothing. I've paced the room more times than I can count when I notice Selen lounging on a bench. How can you be so calm? Selen shrugs. I grew up watching Leisha waste countless hours staring at dice. Got bored of it a long time ago. Either they'll find something or they won't. That's a thing we can do about it. She lets out a deflating breath. The way things look, we won't even get to see this through. She's right about that. The price of asking Bloodfather's help was our liberty. Now that they have us, neither my bloodfather nor the general is likely to let us out of their sight again. And about us, I say, now that Bloodfather's involved, that'll get sorted quick. You'll see. Selen nods, and I wish I had half the confidence I'm pretending. At last, Jardir and Nineveh arise and come over to us. I do not believe your mother is dead, Darin Arm Bales, the Demarja says. The death of one so powerful leaves an imprint, and the Alagai Hora have found none such. She says nothing of what she did see in the dice, only what she did not. Then where is she? The results are inconclusive, Nineveh says. We will find her, Jardir assures me. We will find them both. And now for Olive. The Demarja takes her needle again, this time blooding both Selen and Jardir, mixing the blood of father and aunt into a passable substitute for Olive's. Do you have a personal item of Olive's to focus the throw? Nineveh asks. Selen produces Olive's warded cloak, folded safe in her pack these many weeks. Will this do? Nineveh nods, returning to her silenced circle and spreading the cloak out like a casting cloth. The dice flash as she throws, and she stares at them a long time. I watch my bloodfather's lips as he speaks in the ring of silence, reading them as easily as a book. What do you see, Jiwa? Nineveh turns to look at him. Reckon she trusts the layers of her veils to cover her lips, but I squint and peer through. She is in the one place you cannot go, husband. Jardir's brow furrows. There is nowhere I cannot go to reach Olive paper. Nineveh gives a sad shake of her head, veils wafting after. The prophecy stands. Now that the gates of Desert Spear have closed behind the Marja, they will not open again for you without bloodshed.
If the Maja kidnapped my daughter, Jardir growls, then bloodshed they shall have. It will wash away all hope of a reunified Krasia in your lifetime, Inevera says. They have our Zhuar Sen, Belina. Your son, Iravan. Why is this different?
You know what Olive is, Jardir says. You saw it yourself in the bones.
No, I do not, Inevera tells him. And neither do you. We know what she might be. Either Everarm wills it so, or he does not.
You said the same about me,
Jardir says. Indeed, Inevera says. And the account has yet to be audited in full. What might she be?
It's pointless to ask. I know they won't tell me. It will only inform them that I can read lips through a veil. Jardira's knuckles press pale against his skin as he grips his spear.
Iravan and Belina are of Maja, and chose to remain with their people. Olive is not and did not. Aleveran cannot be allowed to hold her.
Again the Demaja shakes her head.
If you go, you will make matters worse. I worry for when I have found her mother, Jardir growls. He turns on a heel. Darin, tend me.
I follow him out of the casting chamber to another room off the main court, his private study and map room. Books and scrolls line the walls, with great tables for research. He selects maps of the eastern mountains, laying them out for me to look over. I show him where we found the remains of the expedition and the large area Aunt Leisha indicated where the city might be.
Husband.
Inevera appears at the door.
Enough bones and cryptic words, Jardir says, striding from the chamber onto an open-air balcony. I will seek my blood sister and my intended. While I am gone, you are to divine a way to return Olive to us, or I will visit the Maja next, and the dice be damned.
He grips his spear in both hands then, and it begins to glow brighter and brighter. Then he holds it in the air, and it pulls him aloft. Up off the balcony he rises, and then he twists in midair and flies off into the night. The Demaja doesn't shout. She doesn't tsst. Nothing breaks the perfect serenity on her face. But she smells furious.